involved in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music by Peter Van Steeden. New features, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Here, Fred Allen, as he heads his weekly parade to the old town hall. Fred's leading the band with the milk bottles, followed by those curds of the drama, the mighty Athanar players. Let's join that happy throng, folks. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come, hikers.
You better take a knapsack, Nell. It's a 20-mile hike.
I'm taking nothing but my radio, Miss Judson. It's town hall tonight.
Z-Men.
What makes you think we'll find Tough Willie at home, J. Edgar?
That thug is crazy about the radio, Muldoon.
And it's town hall tonight.
Married couples.
You beast, I'm taking my things and going back to Mother.
Oh, yeah? Well, you ain't taking that radio, Vixen. It's town hall tonight.
Well, here we are before the old town hall, and there's Fred, dressed as one of Snow White's dwarfs, swapping small talk with the folks as they crowd inside. Let's listen.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, folks, and he got that way coming to the old town hall. Now step lively, please.
Evening, Poser.
Hi there, Mrs. Nash.
Hi, Hot Star.
Hi, Milk. Go right in. There's a song, a grin, and you may hear Tippy Tin on the inside. So hurry, hurry, hurry,
sir,
hurry.
I wish you'd start, Fred.
Oh, patience, Harrikins. Peter's opening the show with Hi Ho.
Hi, Fred. Ho, Peter.
We dig, 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 dig in our mind the whole day through. To dig, 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 dig is what we like to do.
While we dig, we always sing. But when you dig, there ain't a better thing than a tune.
And a tune, and a tune, and a tune you can live so long can do. Hi ho, hi ho, to make the troubles go. Just keep on singing all day long. Hi ho, hi ho,
hi ho, hi ho, hi ho.
For it is feeling low, you positively can't go wrong with a hi, hi ho.
Convoy tossing terrible, terrific tantrums, telling tongue-twisting tidbits, tempting tepid titters, Tallahassee's talking tin pipe, Red Allen.
In person.
In person.
Took the words right out of your mouth, Harry. You shouldn't keep your mouth open that way. People filch things out. Your bridge will be gone
They come out of your mouth better than they do mine, Fred.
Oh, I don't think so, Harry. Your mouth is much larger and better situated, nearer the chin, I think, where things get to the point much sooner. Well, thank you. After this short delay, ladies and gentlemen, men at Banta, we ran up a sign. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, spring is here, as the man said when he cut a large hole in the mattress and looked in. And the meeting... Oh, this show can't be this good, Harry. I think we ought to stop right now and go into Wayne King or something. And the meeting opens with the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, everybody's grocer, has a special announcement. Now, Hodge says there's kleptomania rampant around the store, folks. He took inventory last week and found that during the month of March, so far, his pickle barrel is short 12 dills. Now, Hodge says he isn't going to mention the shoplifter by name, but he knows who you are, lady. He hasn't seen you take the pickles, but every time you leave the store, Hodge says he looks up And sure enough, he sees the brine rippling in the pickle bath. Now, Art says, cut it out, sister. One of these days, he's going to step up to you as you leave the store and say, how's your wet arm, madam? So much for gherkin gossip. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
The curtain gives way to gravity, Fred.
Well, after all, gravity is the soul of wit, Harry. The curtains go out. Gravity is the soul of wit. Things fall with a deadening clunk, it does. And we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. The Metropolitan Opera Company closes its 1937-38 season in a blaze of glory to a huge and appreciative audience. While the newspapers have brought you the highlights of the past operatic season, the town hall news tonight brings you the lowlights. We interview a select group of unimportant people whose puny activities added practically nothing to the advancement of opera during the current season. First, the man who outslept all other opera lovers this year, Mr. Tarantula Truman Bradley. Mr. Bradley?
Yes.
You don't care much for opera.
Yeah, the whole thing's a lot of Aunt Dandy to me.
I can quote you on that.
Yeah, what's opera? Two me-me's, an intermission, and then it's the same thing all over again.
Well, if you don't like the opera, why do you go?
It's the wife. Somebody gives her some of them bifocals on a stick for Christmas.
A lorgnette?
Yeah.
Well, why does your wife have to go to the opera?
Where else can you go with a lorgnette, bud?
Have you tried the other theaters?
Yeah, she pulled out her lorgnette at Minsky's. One of the dames took a kick at her from the runway.
I see. Now, as I understand it, you slept through the entire opera season.
Well, no, I woke up once.
During which opera, do you recall?
I think it was the barber or something. There was some guy up there yelling, Figaro, 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 Figaro.
Well, what happened?
I says Figaro to you, brother, and went back to sleep.
Thank you, mister. We had Figaros left over, if you don't mind. Thank you, Mr. Tarantula Truman Bradley. The best-dressed woman of the opera season was Miss Poindexter Swank. Miss Swank.
My dear, I was the talk of the foyer, the mezzanine, and the ladies' lounge.
In brief, Miss Swank, you were a sartorial delight.
Yes, as Beau put it, I was très distingue.
Très distingue, and I do mean goo. What did you wear?
Oh, scads of creations. Simply scads. I never thought I'd get through the season.
Why?
My modiste simply gave out. We had to keep feeding her adrenaline.
How messy. Now, what were some of your creations, Miss Swang?
For the opera opening, I wore a corduroy mess jacket with tea rose bloomers and a lavalier of hollyhocks. Overall, drooped a polka dot Inverness.
Divine.
Oh, but you should have seen me the second week.
Really? What did you wear?
Cerise slacks, a tweed midi blouse, satin puttees with a burlap beanie, and a fountain of orchids slopping out of my bodies.
My dear.
But Saturday night, I simply went mad. I came as a giant narcissus with sleeves in my stem.
Sleeves in your stem?
I wore an evening gown as a corsage.
How tres. How tres, but tres she.
That was a consensus, thank you.
And thank you, Miss Swank.
Did you notice my perfume?
Oh, yes. An evening in Paris?
No, a night in Pottsville, P.A.
Not if I can help it. And thank you, Miss Poindexter Swank. A young lady who attended the opera but once was Miss Pocahontas Quince. Miss Quince.
Once was enough for me.
What happened?
Well, the boyfriend has taken me out, and we see this sign. It says Bohemian Girl.
I see.
And the boyfriend says, how about a musical, babe? And in we goes.
Oh, you thought it was a musical comedy.
Yeah, you know, like Hooray for Witch or Pins and Noodles.
When did you realize your mistake?
When we got inside.
What was going on?
What was going on? A Mussolini clam bake to music.
again and thank you, Miss Pocahontas Squinch. The only musician to play a wrong note without being noticed during the entire opera season was Mr. Fritz Lump. Mr. Lump.
Dankeschön.
Now, what about this wrong note, Mr. Lump?
Yeah, I blew it.
What happened?
I am playing the oboe in the orchestra.
The oboe?
Yeah, the oboe that's like the clarinet, but on a diet.
Now, about the note.
Well, in the upper Rigoletto, the oboe is playing the interlude, so.
But this stale note.
Is coming. One night, I am eating sauerkraut for dinner. I am lifting up the oboe. Out should come the interlude. Und Gott in Himmel.
What happened?
A little piece of sauerkraut is catching in the front teeth.
And then came your musical indiscretion.
Yeah. Instead of playing.
Yes?
The sauerkraut is catching in the reed and I am blowing.
Good heavens, what did you do?
What I do? I am spitting out the sauerkraut, not Elish.
Quick thinking, and thank you, Mr. Lump. And now the opera singer to make the worst faux pas in public during the season was Sergei Buldowski. Mr. Buldowski.
Buldowski is publicly hanging the head in symphonic chagrin.
What happened, Sergei?
January 12th, Sergei Buldowski is singing Pagliacci. The house is packed. The gallery is shouting, Beast, Buldowski! Beast, beast!
You were working at the Metropolitan doing beast work, eh? Were you nervous?
Not exactly nervous, but Buldowski is not Buldowski.
So?
So, I am coming before the curtain to sing, Hey, a flood of rock!
That is the way the aria goes?
Yes. But instead, Buldowski is singing, Hey, a flood of rock! Ha, ha, ha!
What is the difference?
Buldowski is giving the audience an extra ha-ha.
And?
The audience is giving Buldowski the ha-ha back.
You left the stage in snickers?
No, Buldowski is wearing long pants, a clown suit.
Street clothes, and thank you, Sergei Buldowski. And now the little man who caused the greatest sensation the Metropolitan knew all year, Mr. Felix Bend. Mr. Bend.
My grocery store's at the corner of 39th Street, eh?
What's that got to do with the...
Well, don't you remember the day Martinelli got sick and they had to rig down a curtain?
Oh, yes. Mr. Martinelli had eaten something.
Yeah, and I sold it to him, brother. Did I get famous?
Thank you.
Fans calling me at all hours.
Thank you very
much. Two offers for pictures.
Thank you very much.
We the people of the tale.
I know, but Peter. Harry just broke the world's record from the microphone to the applause to the applause card and nothing flat. Without the applause card, it still would have been nothing and flat. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to announce that the Merrimacks have become a permanent part of our little organization. Now we are going to have the pleasure of hearing their excellent swing arrangements each week. Tonight they're going to sing for you in a little red barn.
I was born way down in Indiana. Wish that I were there right now. Want to hear my dog bow wow. When I go to milk the cow. Raised on corn way down in Indiana, so was every little hen. I was mighty happy then. Wish that I were back again. In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana. Let me lay my back on a stack of new mown hay. Round the barnyard where the barnyard folks are pally. Let me dilly dally all the livelong day. A Hoosier by gum, far from home, and my heart is pining for the sycamore trees where the Wabash breezes play.
What's more, I'm
pining for a yellow moon that's shining on the little red barn on a farm down in Indiana way.
Come on now, and let's get hot. You mean the dorky door door in the butty barn? Why, sure, that's tough. Now you're going to town. All together now, let's break it down.
A one, a two, a three, and four. In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana. A rest of my
What's the matter?
Hey, you're getting off on that blasted weenie song.
Oh, by crackers, I said 10 times.
Sure, Dad. Wreck it. Now start it all over again. I want.
I do. I three and four. In a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana. A rat on my tail, so let me lay my sacks on a sack of a new bone. A hay, a hay, a hay, 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 round the barnyard where the farmyard folks are tally. Let me dilly dally. All the livelong day, a day, a day, 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 I'm a hoosier by gum, far from home, and my heart is ha, 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 hiding for the sycamore trees where the Wabash breezes sway. What's more, I'm pining for a yellow moon that's shining on a little red barn on a farm down in Indiana way.
I don't like that winking ending there.
You don't?
No, I thought it was very pretty, didn't you, Helmy?
Sure, I did.
Well, listen, let's try a new modern swingaroo.
All right.
I'll give you two for nothing.
Okay.
One, two.
On a little red barn, on a farm down in Indiana, in deep and away.
That's more like it.
Days ago, ladies and gentlemen, a very significant event occurred, the first day of spring. City dwellers and suburbanites alike hailed it with enthusiastic welcome. Tonight, we bring you a cross-section of that welcome. Mr. J. Abington Platt.
First inkling I had of spring was a robin crossing my lawn, and let me tell you, the sight of that jolly little feathered harbinger was like a tonic to me.
Miss Leona B. Spinnerton.
Spring, oh, spring. It always brings to my mind those first divine daffodils, hundreds of the sassy little darlings, swaying in the wind like kiddies dancing around a maypole. Oh, me.
Mr. Joe Dell.
Spring is here. You said it, and how, but definitely. When I woke up this morning with a cold in the head, I says to myself, Joe, I says, I bet spring is here, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Harry Von Zell.
Oh, but there is something you can do about a spring cold, ladies and gentlemen, and it's this. Put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Have you ever stopped to realize why? Well, just listen to what so many physicians say.
You can often help throw off a cold more quickly if at its very beginning you do 2 important fundamental things. Remove accumulated wastes and help nature counteract the acidity that so frequently accompanies a cold.
And sal hepatica, ladies and gentlemen, does not just one, but both of those things at once. As a laxative, it acts quickly and gently, but even more than that, sal hepatica also helps nature counteract that acidity. You'll never know how effective sal hepatica is for a cold until you've tried it. So remember, for a cold, take sal hepatica.
Thank you.
have just concluded Tiger Rag. You know, one of these days, the Tiger is going to turn around and rag a swing band for a change, which isn't a bad idea. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect
to
meet...
Well, whom are we going to... didn't expect to meet tonight, Fred?
You're not the man with the sauerkraut in his teeth, are you?
Mr. Loom?
Well, you'll never guess whom we are going to meet tonight, Harry.
I won't guess. Well, will you just give me a clue, and I bet I will guess.
All right. Now, what does water become when it freezes?
Oh, well, that's easy. It becomes ice, Fred.
Right. And how do we get the ice?
Well, we open the icebox door, and the little light goes on in there, and there it is.
Well, how does the ice get into the icebox?
Oh. Well, we turn on the electricity and electrocute the water.
And suppose we have... Suppose we have a... There's a cute and electrocute, but you had what's missing the way you brought it out there. But now, suppose we have an old-fashioned ice chest, Mr. Von Zell.
Well, we got our ice from the Iceman, oh, I get it. Now, you're going to interview an Iceman, right?
Well, you're almost right, Harry. You're just one gender out of the way.
What, not an ice lady, Fred?
Yes, Harry. We are going to meet a lady who's been running a thriving ice business for a number of years. She cuts her own ice, stores it, and acts as her own middlewoman between the frozen pond and your refrigerator. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I know you didn't expect to meet Mrs. Ida Gorrington. Good evening, Mrs. Gorrington.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Well, your friendly greeting comes as a pleasant surprise, Mrs. Gorrington. Meeting a nice man for the first time, one usually expects to get the cold shoulder.
But I'm not a nice man, Mr. Allen.
That's right. I shouldn't have said ice man, should I? After all, you are a congealed water hostess.
That's one way of putting it. Up home, they call me Ida the Ice Lady.
And where is up home?
At Long Ridge, Connecticut. It's right outside of Stamford.
Oh, Long Ridge. That's where Haywood Broome, the famous columnist, lives, isn't it?
Yes. I served Mr. Broome for a long time.
And how is Mr. Broome these days?
I don't know, Fred. He bought a Frigidaire.
Double-crossed you, huh? Well, tell me, is your ice business confined just to Long Ridge?
Yes. My father started the first ice road there, and I grew up in the business.
Well, what did families do for ice before your father came to Long Ridge?
I don't know, Fred. It was over 50 years ago.
Well, ice wasn't so important in those days. The highball hadn't been invented.
The highball has done a lot for the ice business, Fred.
Oh, I'll say it has. If all of the ice used in highballs was laid end to end, it would probably take Sonia Henney 3 pictures to skate across it.
I don't know much about pictures, Fred.
Well, neither do I, as you probably surmised. If you've seen me and Sally, Irene, and Mary. But enough about me, Mrs. Gorrington. Do you find, that being a woman is a handicap in the ice game?
Not at all. My customers seem to like it.
Oh, still, it must involve certain difficulties. You couldn't deliver ice to the Elks Club without a chaperone, could you?
Any woman who can toss around a cake of ice, Fred, can toss around an elk.
I imagine you must be rather strong.
Well, it isn't ladylike to brag, Fred.
No, I guess there are times when even a nice lady has to hold her tongue. You know, it's really too bad you didn't bring a piece of ice along with you. We could have put that joke on it to have it keep for another day.
I'm sorry. You should have told me.
Well, I think it's probably too late for a joke like that anyway. It'd probably be too weak to climb up on the ice. But tell me, Mrs. Gorrington, where do you get your ice?
Well, I cut it myself in a pond near my home.
Can you cut enough in the winter to last through your busy season?
Yes, I can. Store enough in my ice house for the whole year.
Well, tell me, how do you go about cutting up a pond that's frozen? Do you run across the ice with a hot foot and melt it in a straight line?
No, it's not that easy, Fred.
Well, how do you do it?
First, I mark the channel, and I use a horse and plow to cut the ice.
Now, when you store the ice in the ice house, doesn't it melt during the hot weather?
Not much. It's packed in with sawdust and salt hay. Naturally, you expect a little shrinkage.
Oh, of course. As a woolen underwear user, I understand the shrinkage problem thoroughly. I never can put on a woolen union suit after one washing. I just hang the suit inside of my shirt, you know, in case I'm rushed to a hospital or something.
You never know, Fred.
How devastatingly true, Mrs. Gorringhead. Now, about your service, would you mind if I asked you how you work?
Not at all.
Well, fine. Now, let us say, then, that I live in Long Ridge, Connecticut, and I need ice. I put my card in the window, and what happens?
How much ice would you want a day?
Oh, I'll go the whole hog. I'll take a dozen cubes.
I don't cut ice that small, Fred.
A wholesaler, hey? All right, then I'm a defenseless consumer. What sizes do you have?
Well, I'm showing a 100-pound piece for 70 cents, 50 pounds for 35, and a smaller piece for 20 cents.
Well, as long as this is an imaginary transaction, I'll take a 100-pound piece. I don't know how I'll get it into the icebox.
I'll take care of that.
What, you catapult a 100-pound cake of ice into a refrigerator all by yourself?
Well, sometimes my daughter helps me.
Is your daughter a Lorelei of the solidified H2O?
If you mean she's in the ice business, yes.
It doesn't look, then, as though Long Ridge will run out of ice ladies during this generation, does it?
Not if we can help it.
So have you any celebrities on your calling list up at Long Ridge?
Well, there's Deems Taylor and Gene Tunney.
You've actually supplied Gentleman Gene with ice?
Yes. One time he asked me to help him put a 100-pound cake in his icebox.
Well, he's out of training now, of course. Now, who else is on your list?
Mr. Richard Gordon.
The man who plays Sherlock Holmes so well on the radio?
Yes, Fred.
I suppose you come out of his house yelling to your daughter, saying, "Quick, Watson, the ice pick."
No, Fred. My daughter's name is Emma.
Well. I thought you had been tinkering with the script. Well, since you look so contented and happy, I take it that you like your work on the ice truck.
There's only one thing I like about ice, Fred.
What's that?
It melts.
Fortunately, if it didn't, those people who make those pans to go under old-fashioned ice boxes would have been out of business years ago.
And so would I.
Well, as a little businesswoman, have you any complaints to register about present conditions?
No, Fred, I have no kick coming.
Well, you're probably in the only business that can show a profit with frozen assets.
That's right.
Well, thank you a lot for this little visit and this frosted chat. And I must say, as a nice lady, Mrs. Gorrington, you certainly take the cake.
Thank you, Fred, and good night.
Good night, and thank you once again, Mrs. Ida Gorrington. Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys swing Mother Goose, that poor old feathered dowager, and give us their version of Three Blind Mice. Cheese it, boys.
Three blind mice, see how they run. Three blind mice, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
Did you ever see such a sight in your life?
As three blind mice.
How many mice?
Exactly three.
Why were they blind?
They couldn't see exactly three. They couldn't see four blind mice.
They all ran after
the farmer's wife, the farmer's wife, the farmer's wife.
She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
The carving knife, the carving knife. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
They ran
after the farmer's wife.
They ran
after the farmer's wife.
They ran
after the farmer's wife.
They ran
after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
She cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life?
No.
Did you ever see such a sight in your life?
No.
Did you ever
see such a sight in your life.
No, no, a thousand times no, we never see nothing like it.
What seem they never saw such a sight in their life.
Three blind mice, oh, see how they run. Three blind mice, yes, see how they run. So the old man asked the farmer's wife, and she cut off the tails with a carving knife.
Did you ever see such a sight in your eyes?
As three, oh,
three blind mice,
did three,
that awful sight.
Gentlemen, we present the most unusual contest in the world. There are no letters to write, no box tops to send in, there aren't even any prizes. And in spite of the fact that we'll even give you the answer, you can still win. Now, here's the problem.
A woman walks into a store. She buys some face powder, cleansing cream, lipstick, an eyebrow pencil, and a hair shampoo. Now, what did she forget?
And here's the answer.
A tube of Ipana toothpaste. Because while we all realize how important it is for a woman to take the proper care of her skin and hair and eyes, how little it all counts when her lips part in a dull, dingy smile. A smile that ruins her loveliness and destroys her charm. That's why we try to point out the importance of healthy gums to sound teeth. And the importance of Ipana toothpaste and massage to both, to gums as well as teeth. If you realize that, ladies and gentlemen, you'll start using Ipana tomorrow. And every time you brush your teeth, you'll put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on one of the new double-duty toothbrushes and massage it on your gums. For massage with Ipana was especially designed to help make your gums firmer, your teeth brighter. And with healthier gums and sparkling teeth, your smile can't help but be a lovelier one. So start tomorrow to remember Ipana for your smile of beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately following a brief pause for your station identification.
WEAF, New York.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played The Lady Who Couldn't Be Kissed. Now, on Sunday morning, the boys' basketball team will meet here at the town hall to let the air out of the ball for the summer.
Mr. Allen!
Yes, the first Mr. Allen is not here, but the second one seems to answer.
Hello.
Well, sir...
Well, aren't you going to tell a joke, Mr. Allen?
What joke?
When I come in, you always say, well, sir, they laughed when so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
What is that so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so?
Well, that's where you generally tell a well-sir joke.
I know, but I couldn't think of any well-sir joke this week.
Gosh, that's a dilemma. Maybe I can think up one. Let me see.
There's no hurry. The program's staying on till June, I hear. Tell me.
How is this? They laughed when I took the undertaker into the post office. They didn't know I was going in for a dead letter. If it is important.
No. I think just a plain lull without words is better than that.
Hello, Portland.
Oh, hello, Harry.
Hi, Mob.
Mob, hey.
Gosh, this is awful, fellas.
What's the trouble, Portland?
Mr. Allen hasn't got a well-sir joke for tonight.
What do you need, Allen, a joke? Why don't you tell me?
We don't want a joke with a suit on. We need a joke to tell.
Okay, how's this? A man called the waiter over in the automat and said, there's a fly in my suit. The waiter said, righto, sir, I'll bring you a swatter.
What's the joke, Peter?
It was lentil soup, and it wasn't a fly at all. It was a black lentil.
A black lentil of all the soggy puns I have ever been in the neighborhood when it's...
I'm too fast for this company, I can see that.
Look, if you were as fast as you should be, you'd be gone by now. After telling that broken-down wheeze...
Well, now, wait a minute, Fred. Why don't you give Peter a chance?
Yes. How about a well, sir, joke, Peter?
A well, sir, gag? Okay. Get this. Well, sir, they laughed when I threw the catnip on the card table. They didn't know I was leaving it for the kitty.
Now, see, that's good, Fred.
That's good, and you can fill in your own adjective.
Meaning I've got nothing on the ball?
No, I will say that you give service, Happy. It takes a hen a whole day to lay an egg, but you can toss them off like a sturgeon.
I got a laugh, didn't I?
You couldn't get a laugh walking into a hyena cage with a comic supplement.
Oh, no, I can make my orchestra laugh anytime I want to.
Ooh, how do you do it, Peter?
I lead the band with a feather.
What do you play, Pete? Love in Plume?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't mention that song around here.
You mean on account of Jack Benny, Mr.
And
Allen?
Don't mention that name around here. That guy. Did you notice the minute Toscanini sailed, he whipped out his violin again? That Saturday, Sunday, playing thanks for the whatchamacallit.
I heard Jack Sunday night, some comedian.
That's only one man's opinion, and the word man is used loosely in this instance.
Did you really call Jack up on the phone Sunday, Mr. Allen?
No, that shows you how cheap that guy is. He writes a telephone call into his program and then sends me a bill for the call. He said after the program was over, he reversed the charges.
Listen, are you really going to be on Jack's program Sunday, Fred?
Yes, but I'm not going to be on his program artistically, Harry. I'm just going over there for a little business.
What business, Mr. Allen?
Well, we had Mr. Simonson, the toupee man, on the program last week. And from what I hear about Benny's scalp, his pompadour can use a stand-in.
Well, I wonder why Jack is coming to New York.
Didn't you know? He bought a round-trip ticket when he first went out to Hollywood. It expires this month.
Oh, Jack Benny isn't that cheap, Mr. Allen.
He isn't, hey? Well, from a confidential Pasadena source, I hear that when Benny buys an orange out there... One orange, mind you. He drinks the juice, uses the two halves for jello molds, and makes cufflinks out of the seed.
Well, I still don't see why Jack's coming to New York.
All right, then I'll let you all in on a little secret. Now, you all know that Benny is building a new house in Hollywood, don't you?
Yeah, I've read about it.
Well, how do you think he's going to furnish his house?
How, Mr. Allen?
Say, a spoon here, a knife there on the diner... They tell me they caught him getting off the train with a Pullman blanket around his neck. He tried to tell the porter he thought it was his muffler.
No kidding.
Why, all the hotels in New York are ready for Benny. It's the first time they've nailed down the furniture since the American Legion was in town.
Okay, sit right up here, Bob.
All right.
Is the mic okay?
Testing. One, two. Okay, Jolly.
Right. Folks, this is the Knox Flop program. Tonight we're stopping
now,
in the
wait
question...
Wait a minute, boys. Now, what's this?
This is the Knox Flop program, brother.
No, I'm sorry. This is the Town Hall program.
Why, you could be wrong, bud. Stand by, folks. We're going to question everybody in sight.
Now, just a second. This is some gigantic NBC misunderstanding here. A definite overlapping. The Town Hall program is on the air.
Open the window, brother. Nobody will notice it. Yeah, here we go, brother. Pipe down now.
But you can't have a program going on while a program is going on.
Nothing was going on here till we come in. Quick in.
Town Hall tonight was going on.
There's only one air, brother, and we're on it.
Right.
Now, this gentleman here, what's your name, brother? You, Bond?
Oh, me. I'm Harry Bonzel.
What do you do, Bonzel?
Well, I expound the merits of Ipana and Salopatica.
Okay, take it away, Bond.
Right. Now, here's the little lady, folks. Your name is?
Portland Hoffer.
And what's your occupation, sis?
I help Mr. Allen to get left.
Unemployed, eh? take it away, Joey.
Okay, your name, chump?
Fred Allen.
What's your business, bum?
Get it. Getting you two fly-by-nights off this program.
An optimist, eh? Now tell me, Mr. Allen, if a man had an outboard motor on the seat of his pants, would he go through a revolving door any faster?
Well, I...
Take it away, Bob. Well,
thank you, Jolly. Thank you. Now, here's a wrinkled-up specimen here.
Your name, Prune?
Peter Van.
Take it away, Jolly.
There's nobody here. Take it away, Bob.
Well, I ain't got nothing here but a dog. What's your name, Mutt? Thank you. Take it away, Jolly.
I took it the last time. You take it, Bob.
Not me. I'm sick of taking
it. Quit stalling. You ain't pushing it over on me.
That's up to you. I ain't taking it.
Somebody ought to take it.
I'll take it.
Fine. Take it, Portland.
Pally. Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we inaugurate what we are pleased to call a delayed encore. As an encore, which the Merrimack should have taken after their first number, has been delayed until this time. They're going to sing for you Funiculi Funicula.
Someday the world is made for fun and frolic, and so do I, and so do I. It's bound to be all melancholic, divine and sigh. But I love to spend my time in singing some joyous song. To set the air with music gaily ringing, it's far from wrong. Hearken, music sounds afar. Hearken, music sounds afar. Funiculi, funicula. Music sounds afar. Funiculi, funicula, la, la.
Gentlemen, I stopped in to see an old friend of mine who's been listening to these programs regularly for nearly a year. And when I asked him what he thought of Sal Hepatica, he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, Fred, I don't know. I've always been meaning to buy a bottle, but it just slips my mind, I guess." Well, figuring that we may have one or two other listeners just like him, Harry Von Zell has this to say.
"Well, ladies and gentlemen, I come here every Wednesday and tell you how much Sal Hepatica will help you. I could tell you this week after week until Fred has a long white beard. But you will never know what it will really do for you until you try it. So right now, I'd like to make this friendly challenge. As soon as this show is over, or the first thing tomorrow morning, get a small, inexpensive bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist. And take it the very next time the need for a laxative is indicated. If you don't find out that it's more than I say it is, and if you're not delighted at how quickly you'll feel your old, normal self again, don't ever buy another bottle. You be the judge. We honestly believe, as so many physicians believe, that in Sal Hepatica we are offering you an ideal laxative. But we can only tell you this. It's for you to prove it."
It's just a gypsy in my soul. I've got to get give vent to my emotions. I'm only content having my way. If I am fancy free and love to wander, it's just a gypsy in my soul.
They've just played and sung for you, Gypsy in My Soul. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, they present a drama of the wild and bully West. It's called High, Wide, and Homely. Or, he had a face that only a mother could love, but his mother had other plans. Overture, Peter.
Oh, carry me back to the lone prairie, where my bills is paid by the RFC. Oh, carry me back.
Oh, caution, Luke Allen. Quit that curfewing.
Bob's going to bed with me singing, Ma. I'm practicing, Ma. I'm getting my audition for the major, any day.
With that voice, you'd get thrown out of a wildcat community scene.
Oh, quit belittling, Ma.
Well, I guess you can't expect no nightingale's voice to come out of a buzzard.
Being homeless, my privilege, Ma.
You're abusing your privilege, Luke Allen. You know what folks is calling you?
Horseface Allen, the Dracula of the Rio Grande.
Horseface is right. Alongside of you, Frankenstein looks like Little Boy Blue.
Well, it's too late for you to crawfish now, Ma. Hussens has been hitched 20 years.
If you hadn't stolen the glasses before we started courting.
I was too foxy for you, Ma.
Lord, you must have sprung from powerful, ugly stock, Luke Allen.
Ugly? Pa looks so much like a horse. Ma couldn't leave him standing in the street. Folks had come along and saddled Pa.
What'd they feed him out of? A nose bag?
Yeah. Pa looked like a Mickey Finn with skin on.
Land of Goshen. Was your Ma homely, too?
Frowsy Gertie, they called Ma. Ma had the heart of a hen hawk with a face to match.
Well, trump my bustle.
Ma used to tell about the time she come face to face with Sitting Bull.
Did she make him stand up?
No, but Ma sure made old Sitting Bull swivel around.
Someone to the door.
Effinite Sears, tell him Roebuck was here yesterday.
Go hide in the closet and I'll open the door.
Okay, Ma.
Come in, stranger.
Howdy, ma'am.
What's your peddling, Fancy Pam?
Well, I'm selling a little article here that's going like hotcakes in New York.
What's it called, Slicker?
Daddy Rankin's Jiffy Corn Salve. Dissolves your corns in Jiffy. Got a corn on your foot? I'll show you how she works.
I used to have a corn, but a callus grew over it, and the whole thing finally turned into a spav in.
I see. Has your husband got a corn?
I don't know. I'll call him. Luke!
Yep, Ma. Well, howdy, stranger.
Why, howdy. Yo! The crate! Help! Help! Let me out!
You shouldn't have looked him full on, Pa.
Here, I generally back up meeting folks. I plumb forgot.
You ought to wear a veil or something.
Every time I look back in the sun, my shadow scoots round the corner.
Oh, look, Horseface. Someone's coming up the trail.
Well, who is it? Our daughter, Priscilla?
Nope, it's the sheriff, and he's got a fellow with him.
Well, reckon it's a little job for me.
I'll let him in. Howdy, Sheriff.
Howdy, Lucy. Get in there, you. Wet pushing robe.
Something for me, Sheriff?
Yeah, reckon I got the desperado shot up a beano game over at Wilkins Corners.
He won't talk, eh?
No, he won't talk. I give him the third degree.
I ain't talking, robe, and take this blindfold off of me.
You're the law's last resort, Horseface. Maybe he'll crack if you, you know...
Full face?
Yeah. Stick your tongue out. Give him everything.
I'll get you, Sheriff. I'll mug it up a mite and cut up.
Yeah.
Take these blinders off. I want to see what's going on.
Okay, Tuppy, you'll see.
You'll see.
You'll see. I'll take them off for you there.
Howdy, Tuppy.
Howdy. No. No! That face! Take him away! I can't stand it! I'll talk!
Who robbed that Beano game?
I done it! Take him away! I'll tell everything! Please, Copper! Please, take him away!
He's drooping! He's drooping, Jeff!
Yeah! I knew you'd come through, Horseface.
No trouble at all.
Well, thank you. Come on, Bob.
Yeah, get me out of here. I'll talk.
Lou!
Oh, help! Help!
God, he sure cracked fast, Luke.
Shucks, Ma. If I'd have scunned my tooth, we could have pinned the Frisco earthquake on him.
I wonder what's keeping our daughter pretty.
Maybe that's Prissy on the phone.
Nope, too short's his next cabin.
Well, that's our new neighbor, Clem Flynn.
He just went in his shanty. Why don't he answer?
Clem stingy, Ma. He never did answer the phone. Scared somebody to ask him for something. He just had the phone put on the wall to hang his hat on.
Sounds mighty stingy.
Clem's so tight, there ain't no slack in his skin. He has to yawn before he can set.
Well, tight or loose, only one thing interests me. Is he single?
Ma, you ain't aiming to bag Clem for our daughter Priscilla.
Percy ain't getting no younger, Luke, and looking like you ain't helping her chances.
Well, I don't reckon you can snag Clem, Ma. Two can live cheap's one. Clem can live cheap and all three put together.
Oh, here's Prissy coming up the road now. Lord, she's even homely from a distance.
Yeah, the minister with her?
Yep. It's mighty extravagant hiring a minister to walk around with Prissy all day.
It's worth it, Ma. If a man gets within grabbing distance of Prissy, we got the parson ready to pounce.
I know, but a minister carrying a lasso looks sort of obvious.
Well, I ain't taking no chances, Ma.
Howdy, Ma.
Howdy, Chris.
Howdy, howdy, daughter.
Amen, folks.
Any luck today, Reverend?
No luck.
Well, you can't expect to catch nothing, Rev, with what you got there for bait. See who that is, Ma. Get your lasso ready, Rev.
Yea, I shall twirl.
If it's a man, remember we got him outnumbered 4-1.
I got my gun out. Open up, Ma.
Oh, howdy, mister.
Priscilla Allen live here?
You bet. Come right in, Bob.
Well, all right, but quit pushing me. Which is Miss Allen?
Speak up, daughter.
I'm Priscilla Swain.
Well, Miss Allen, I...
Yes?
I brought you these flowers.
Oh, thank you.
Something ain't kosher here.
Quiet, Luke. Romance is in the making.
Miss Allen, may I kiss you?
Yes!
My initiation's over.
What's this initiation?
I've had to kiss the homeliest girl in town. Now I'm an odd feller.
Hold on, Bob. Dad, Rarity got away. Where was you, Rev?
My lasso fouled on the floor.
Oh, Lord, and I was starting to reach for the rice.
Well, anyway, I've been kissed.
If this is another odd fella, I'll plug him right through the password. You hide in the corner, Prissy.
Yes, Paul.
Open the door, Ma.
Okie dokie, Horseface.
12, Rev.
Okay.
Howdy, Miss Allen.
Well, who be you, kidney foot?
Clem Flint's my name. I'm your next door neighbor.
Oh, come in, Mr. Flint.
Hope you don't mind if I don't take off my hat.
Trying to save the wear and tear on the brim, bub?
Nope, I got some Vitalis on. I don't want it to evaporate.
Mighty thrifty, ain't you, Clem?
Lord, Mom, I'm so close, I'm crowding myself right now.
Close in, Rev.
Okay, Horseface.
What's on your mind, Clem?
Well, I'll tell you why I called. For dinner, I always smell the fumes from your cooking, Miss Allen.
There you are?
Yeah, last night your kitchen window was closed. I had fainting spells during the night and woke up weak as a kitten. Always upsets me to miss a meal.
You want we should leave the kitchen window open?
Effin' you could. Jeepers, your mince pie night before last was the most delicious inhale I had in years. My nose must have gained 2 pounds.
You're so tired, I don't see how an inhale gets into you.
Do you fancy my corned beef and cabbage sundae, Clem?
Yep, but the cabbage didn't set so well on my sinus. Had to take a stiff whiff of bicarbonate afterwards.
We're cooking buzzard a la king tonight, Bob.
Yeah, with gopher dressing.
Gopher dressing.
Yum, yum. Could you open two windows?
I'll do better than that, Bob. I'm inviting you to stay for dinner and meet my daughter, Priscilla.
In that order?
No, you better meet Priscilla first. It'll stunt your appetite. Ready, Reverend?
Got my book open, ready to chant.
Where's your daughter, Horseface?
Come out into the light, Prissy.
There she is. Oh, Priscilla!
Yes?
Priscilla, my search is ended. You're the gal of my dreams.
Ma, the boy's either got myopia or is plumb loco.
Hush up, Pa.
Priscilla, I'm asking you to be my wife here and now.
Take it away, Rev, before he changes his mind.
Okay, Horseface. Clem Flint, do you?
I do.
Priscilla Allen, do you?
And how, Parson?
Then your man and wife. $2, please.
Here's my dollar, Parson.
Ow!
What was that?
Had a dollar sewed in my pants. Must have been stitched clear through to the skin.
Bless you, my children, but I'm still a dollar short.
I give you mine, Ram.
And the other dollar's on me. Here you are, Rev.
Yeah, thank you, Horseface, and goodbye.
Well, Clem?
I'm your son-in-law now, Horseface. What size suits do you wear?
Two of us can't get in it, Clem. Now that it's too late, how come you took my ugly daughter for your wife?
Wife? Who's took a wife?
You married me, Clem. Don't forget.
Well, sure. I just wanted to have you around my farm.
For cooking and chambering?
Nope. I'll tell you, Horseface. Wolves has been a-coming round killing my sheep. I figure Prissy's face will scare them wolves off of my land.
Oh, Clem.
Seems plumb loco to me. Getting married to save your sheep. You could have bought a watchdog for that.
Don't forget, Horseface, I'm a frugal man.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with marrying?
A dog's license costs $10. I got a marriage license for two. A penny saves, a penny earned.
Oh,
well, the dog broke.
Gentlemen, before we let the skeleton of next week's show out of the closet, I'd just like to say that we hope tonight's show has left you with a memory and a thought.
The memory of an enjoyable hour, and the thought that the next time you need a toothpaste or a laxative, you'll remember to buy the two products that make all of these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
If the dam goes, everything is ruined, Pumphrey.
You can't say that word on the radio. I'm censoring it in this script.
People you didn't expect to meet.
One of New York's last cabbies. Don't miss him.
And music.
Heard on this program, Hi-Ho from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.